right, here we go. Whenever somebody's sitting in an interview seat, planning to interview somebody who has a, where there's a kind of a family background connected, I think there's this added pressure to try and I don't know if it's to avoid or just be really creative about questioning that involves not so much the person in question, but maybe a little more of the family history. That is the case when it comes to interviewing Mr. Adam Cohen, who's on TH Radio this evening. Yes, that last name says it all. Adam Cohen, performer, is son of performer Leonard Cohen. And so, you know, why avoid the elephant in the room? I think maybe it's more of a question of creative questioning. So welcome to the show, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll tell you, there was a place where my imagination went while preparing to interview you, and that was that I'd come up with this this line of questioning for you regarding taking on the family business, and that was sort of based on the fact that my boyfriend is he's a third generation plumber, and also co-hosts the show with me and works on media stuff with me, and so I actually talked to him first. This is kind of strange, but in preparation for talking to you, and it was the idea of what was it like to walk in his father's shoes and his grandfather's shoes, and he talked a little bit about how when he was small, he played with the fittings and the tools and the things that were always around, given the family business, and that he was surrounded by it, and that even if it was tough at times, it was really a natural fit. So then I go to your website to do a little further research and to continue this. And I read this quote of yours, and it was, "Like a man is steeped in my recognizing that I'm in the family business. Despite my efforts to carve out a different identity, really I belong to a long line of people who've embraced their father's business. And to have my father pronounce that I have world-class love songs on my record, Like a Man and What Other Guy, is a deeply gratifying compliment." Then I was like, oh man, he's addressing these questions for me without me even having to ask them. So tell me, what I want to know is, was there ever a period where you sort of wanted to resist this family business of music?
Never, no.
Now, what was it that propelled you then? What is it that, what was the thing, like, you're not just under influences, you're steeped in living in influence. So what is that like for a performer?
Well, it's not like anything. It's very much, I imagine, like your boyfriend being interested at the very least, if not feeling a calling to do something that was around him and that was performed by his father. It's natural. It's done by people all around the world and has been for centuries. And yeah, I never really asked myself that many questions. In fact, maybe part of the problem was that I didn't ask myself enough questions. I just went naturally where I thought I was supposed to go, where I thought it was written that I was going to go. And maybe at worst I felt entitled, and I felt like I was given a title and rights and dignities. And at best, it's just destiny unfurling before me.
Now, the new album is Like a Man is wonderful. And
thank you.
I was particularly moved. Now, I'm in my late 30s. I'll be 39 on my next birthday. And so you and I are close in age. And I find that it's a very different era. There's something very interesting about Generation X turning 40 that I think is to our advantage. And I feel really blessed to be experiencing. I think in the past, unfortunately, there were the generations ahead of us, there was something pretty dark about the idea of turning 40. And if you hadn't realized certain things by the time you turned 40, it meant something. Whereas I think that this day and age, we're actually given, there's actually an interesting movement towards knowing ourselves even more and accomplishing things differently, approaching our 40s. How do you feel about that? About the idea of creating and continuing on in a career beyond that age?
It was really imperative to me that if I was going to continue something as frivolous, self-indulgent, silly, and amorphous as art and music into my 40s, that I'd really have architecture around that built up that justified it.
Okay.
And, you know, I think anybody who's an artist at this age, who's seeking to do it professionally and not just on the side, has to ask themselves some really hard questions, which is, you know, what am I doing this for? Who is this trying to satisfy? Is it just self-indulgent? Because I think that we're all compelled. Everybody is compelled by arts. Some people just give themselves license to do it. Mm-hmm. Some people oughtn't have the license. I'm not one to give criteria on who is or isn't an artist and who should or shouldn't have the quote-unquote permit. But I can speak for myself and say that, as I'm going to be 40 next year, and I have a family and a kid, and I've designed my life with the architecture given to me by the mind of a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, as you get older, you start to have to revise that. And if you don't, it's a sign of your immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
Revise that plan. And the only reason I haven't, I mean, I have definitely revised it, but the only reason I haven't abandoned it is, one, because I really don't have a whole lot of imagination for what else I could do in my life, and two, I've just been given just enough at all times of validation, support, and financial reward to have it be a legitimate form, you know, of occupation.
I really love the imagery and the idea of architecture, and I completely get that, because I think that there is a certain and also the idea of maturity versus not growing, I guess, like the idea of remaining with the same blueprints.
Yep.
That existed perhaps, like, it's, you know, in our teens or our 20s or that sort of thing. It's about I guess having it takes a little guts and definitely elbow grease to be able to, and mental elbow grease, I guess, if that makes any sense, the elbows in your mind, to like sit down at that drawing table with those blueprints again and look at that, the direction that you're taking with things. Would you say now? I found one of the things that really struck me was the your lyrics on this album, and like, for example, in What Other Guy, I think it takes a guy who, like, I think every girl wants to hear the things that are being said in that song, so it's really something that I think will that listeners will pick up on, is the idea, or not just every girl, maybe, I guess it's just because I am a girl, and that's kind of that attention to detail that happens in the lyrics of What Other Guy. People want to know that their lover is paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that that's something that's probably a reflection of that kind of architecture as well, to life, but more maybe related to life than anything else. I love the idea of What Other Guy knows you like that, you know.
Thank you.
And the idea of not wanting to, like, in Like a Man, the idea of not wanting to be like them, be like being better than anyone who has been in a lover's history who has not lived up to what their needs were, or that sort of thing. That's, mm-hmm. That's pretty something. It sounds
Thank
like
you.
there's good architecture in your to use your term again in what's surrounding you for inspiration.
Thank you.
Now, tell me what the about your now you said that you're a dad. Do you have a little boy or a little girl?
I have a boy.
And how old is he?
He's four.
And how do you when you do you feel yourself going in that direction of this legacy of music? Do you he's still pretty small and it's still pretty amazing to just watch them become who they are, but are you seeing any leanings as far as an interest in
No. None that I can really detect. And I'm not in the business of assigning my hopes too heavily on his shoulders.
Of course not. It's more about Lego and trains and
Yeah, he's a little
stuff.
boy, you know, and for me to quote any of his wishes at this point, you know, would just be like, you know, reading a cracker box.
Yeah.
You know, it makes no sense. And it's wonderful, and of course I'm watching it gleefully and with great love and attention. And but again, no assigning of hopes or wishes, no feeling that that he's exhibiting any particular abilities or, you know, no.
Then I think that's great. Just let him be and grow and
Yeah, what else am I
love him.
supposed to do?
That's
I'm not going to
what.
be like a pageant mom.
Oh, that's thank heaven for small mercies. Oh my goodness. Well, Adam Cohen, we are so looking forward to having you here in Lenoxville February 6th. For anyone who's looking to get tickets, you can either visit the website of centennialtheatre.ca or call the theatre itself at 819-822-9692 to get tickets for Adam's show February 6th. Thank you so much for being on the show, Adam.
My pleasure.